fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right, you're hearing my voice, and it's Thursday night. It's 8 p.m. Standard Central Time, so you know that Common Sense Radio is on, and that's where you're tuning in to sift through the propaganda and the fake news and find out what's really going on, what's really important, what's the distraction, what's the real story. It's Common Sense Radio, and that's why we're here, and we come to you every week. You can get us on TuneIn Radio. You can get us streaming if you're in other states on FMTalk1065.com, or just get it on the radio waves in South Alabama and Florida and Mississippi at 106.5 on the FM dial, where we turn up your voice. All right, we're back. We're clear every week. You wonder how this is possible. Our award-winning engineer, Mark Holliday, is still away for a while, but fortunately, he has an heir to the throne who has been trained by the crafty hands of Mark Holliday, and this young man has come along. It's just inspiring to watch him start whipping these young electrons into shape and getting them ready. He's a lot like Mark, but youthful and graceful the way he does that. And that is Ian Blair is working our engineering board this morning.
This morning.
Or this evening. Whatever. It's morning, evening, whatever.
Oh, man. It just reminds me of Count Dooku from Revenge of the Sith. You fools! I've been trained in your Jedi arts by Count Dooku. Except in this case, of course, Mark himself has been doing the training. What's going on, everybody? It's Ian Blair, your producer extraordinaire, as Corey LeBounty likes to say, coming in on the mic.
That's our guy. That's right. So, listeners, you are now forewarned as you notice that Teresa, our director of quality assurance and head of the research department, co-host, executive producer, is not in the studio, believe it or not. So, folks, Ian and I are in here without adult supervision. So stand by for a raucous next hour. But now I got to say this about Teresa's not here tonight. Teresa's at some fundraiser with Nick Saban. And I can't. Can anybody understand how she picked to spend the evening with Nick Saban instead of me and Ian? Does that make sense to anybody? I mean, I was a little shocked that she would pick Nick Saban.
It's Nick Saban. I
over us, but okay.
I don't know.
That's what it is. And then I got to give a little shout out to my little tiger at home, Trent, our youngest, who is six. He's doing some gymnastics things, and they had a tumbling expo tonight, along with the girls were doing their dance recitals, but the little tumblers got out and he did something in a tiger suit and did really, really good job. Trent, we're so proud of you. Really enjoyed that. You know, got to keep the kids involved in all that stuff. Okay, let's get to all the things of the day. Here's something. Do you know what today is? A special day?
I don't know. What's that?
And most people don't know. I mean, if I ask people to text in and go, what is today? It's nationally proclaimed day. It happens every year, but it kind of goes by quietly. It is the National Day of Prayer. Did you know that?
I did hear about that.
You did hear that slide? And I always think this is interesting. It's usually the first Thursday in May. It's the National Day of Prayer. Usually there's a lot of prayer breakfasts and prayer rallies around, but not that many as there used to be. But I'm bringing it up because out at the Southwest Mobile County Chamber of Commerce, which is Theodore Tillman's Corner area, we had our seventh annual National Day of Prayer, a little rally, and we used to do it inside at the community center. Now we do it in the parking lot over by the police precinct, and we have some really good people come out and pray and stuff, but it's not very well attended, but it's very enthusiastically attended. It was a really great event, and I'm always amazed. Or to me, that's the problem with the country, that this goes by. Because you realize, and a lot of people know that, people who really study history, our nation was founded on men who actually were Congress and or the president proclaimed national days of prayer and fasting. In our first 100 years of history, that was actually a fairly common occurrence when there was things, particularly during the Revolutionary War and again during the Civil War and times in between, when there was national tragedy or challenges, presidents or Congress would pass there be a national day of prayer and fasting. George Washington and the Continental Congress did that a bunch of times. And when they did this, like when they were praying over the Constitution and they prayed over the Declaration of Independence, like Congress would adjourn, not adjourn, but go to church in the morning. And then they'd go to lunch and they'd go back and they'd spend all day praying. And here we are, some 200 years later, you know, in the country, everybody's going, wow, the country's really going to pot. And the country's literally the medical marijuana bill that just passed today in Alabama. Mm-hmm. But the country is, you know, everything's going in the wrong direction. We're losing our morality. We're losing our decency. We're losing our just mutual respect for each other. I mean, all these things are happening. And we go, oh, it's so terrible, and we want to blame these people and those people. You know what? We're not praying anymore like we used to. We are not a prayerful nation, a prayerful people, turning to God, asking for his blessings. I mean, folks, we sit here and we like to celebrate our history, and we like to talk about, oh, America's so great, and we're the best country in the world and all that, and which I all agree with. But there's this tinge of we're taking credit for it, that we did it, that, yeah, I come from the stock that did that. You know, my parents came at this time, or my relatives, I can trace them all the way back to the Mayflower. We did that. That's maybe where we've lost sight. The Lord blessed this country. And the Lord blessed this country because the people who came here were God-fearing people who came first as pilgrims and pioneers to settle a wild continent, but they came to settle that wild continent so that they could pray as they choose, so that they could worship God the way they thought they should, so they could develop their own personal relationships with Jesus the way they thought they should. And that's what this country was built on, and that was imbued not into just the people, into the churches, into the communities, into the cities, into the governments, all the way into the Congress. So this country prayed and asked for blessings and worshiped God and honored God. And guess what? God blessed this country richly, blessed this country way beyond what anybody else could ever have imagined, what any other country in the history of the world, in the history of or the world history ever, in human history, no nation has been as blessed, as prosperous, has enjoyed as much peace on its soil than the United States of America. And I tell you, it's because we're a prayerful people, because we're a prayerful people, and we pray over there, and we've asked for those blessings, and we are now living from those blessings, living off those blessings, but we're watching them slip away because why? National Day of Prayer was today, and only a couple dozen people showed up at a really nice little prayer rally at 7:30 this morning in Tillman's Corner. But I'm not complaining about that because I believe we live in a very blessed area. You see, you watch the cable news and you hear the news from all around the country, and there's some awful things in violence and hatred and just vile things going around the country, and we generally don't suffer that here. And I looked at the crowd this morning, and even though it was a small crowd, it was a diverse crowd, and it was neighbors. It was people who knew each other, respected each other, and loved each other. They worked together. They go to school together. They go to church together. And because those people love their community, their families and their communities, they work together. And our area is still blessed. So we're still praying some. I think the rest of the country needs to learn from us. And folks, imagine if we would get back to God and pray the way our founders did, what blessings could be manifest on this country if we would just get back to the basics and realize who's in charge and where those blessings come from. And it's the National Day of Prayer, and I hope you have said a prayer sometime during your day for this great country. And I think, is the music up? Am I over the break?
We got about 15 seconds.
Oh, man, I thought I was already over the break. Okay, because I didn't hear the music yet. I thought you were protecting me. But, folks, we will be right back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, coming to you from FMTalk1065.com, where we turn up your voice. All right, we had a texter say something about his tinfoil hat was in the other room, so could you repeat the first 15 minutes about God? He's ready now. I'm ready, and he wants to pray. Well, you should be able to figure out pray. I can send a I'll summarize the first 50 minutes. God is in charge. If we pray to him, he will bless us. So that's the first 15 minutes. Okay, now I know I got a bunch of calls, and I've got to get to everybody, but I did have, I got somebody, I think, on the house, on the floor of the Alabama House, and I think I'm going to take a risk. Go to line four. Line four, I think that's who that is. Let's go to line four. Line four, is this Chris?
No, this is Brian.
Brian! Oh, Brian. Brian, we're going to come back to you, Brian. Hang on. We got a bunch of calls, but we're waiting somebody to call from the legislature. But we'll be back to you, Brian. Just hang on. We'll put you on hold. Okay, go to line one. Dr. Lou Campanosi from the Common Sense Campaign. He is the president and fearless leader of your South Alabama Tea Party. And since the tax day was deferred by the president, you sent it or the Congress, or whoever did it, you also deferred your tax day rally to this weekend, right?
That's exactly right, Pete. We're going to have this tax day rally this Saturday, the 8th of May, at 11:30 at the Fowl River Community Center. We've been holding it there all these years, and I think if everyone goes to commonsensecampaign.org, you'll find all the information there that you need. And the fact of the matter is there's a nice little map link there, and it'll show you how to get there. So we've got a good lineup. We were supposed to have Jerry Carl, but unfortunately, it looks like his plane may be late. But we have great fill-ins. The state agitator, or the auditor, Jim Ziegler, he's going to be there, plus other good folks that we have. We're looking forward to having a good morning and afternoon with people. We're serving hamburgers and hot dogs and fries. We are having an auction for some of the best cakes that you're going to ever eat. And I think that it's going to be a good all-around day. We really would like to see a lot of folks come out there, especially since we've got some good weather.
Oh, no, that sounds good. Now, this Saturday, the 8th, at the Fowl River Community Center, which is easy to find, is a great little cozy, homey place down there in Fowl River. Did you say it starts at 10:30?
No, it starts at 11:30.
11:30.
So, yeah, that's the kickoff time. Now, we may end up, starting to eat early. So whatever time you get there early in the morning, like 11, you can come and eat. And then the actual speakers are going to start kicking off at 11:30.
Okay, then you'll have a great program. So, and you go to commonsensecampaign.org, and you can find out more information about that. Got the speakers. And it's the annual tax day rally they've been doing since 2009. Because they're keeping an eye on the federal government. They're keeping an eye on the Alabama legislature and all your local elected officials, county, city, whatever. And commonsensecampaign.org, Saturday, 11:30, 8 May. Dr. Lou, you'll be there. Jim Ziegler and others, right?
Exactly. And we're fighting. Sean Sullivan made this point the other day. There's a lot of micro-stupidity going around. So when I called in to Sean, I said, well, all you have to do to fight micro-stupidity is come see the Common Sense Campaign and get a dose of common sense. There you are. That's it.
That's you go. So get your dose of common sense this Saturday at Fowl River Community Center at 11:30 for the Tax Day Rally, since Tax Day's coming up, the deferred COVID Tax Day.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Pete.
All right, Dr. Lou, thanks for calling in. Let's go to line five this time, because I think, let's try it this time. Line 5, is this State Representative Chris Pringle?
Hey, Pete, how are you doing this evening?
It is. Chris, you are live on the floor of the House of Representatives in the Montgomery for the state of Alabama. Is that correct?
Well, I've left and I've come to my office. A little too loud.
A little too loud. Okay, but you were on the floor. They're still in session. Oh, yeah. There's things going on there, and you are the state representative for district. I forget. What are you, District 102?
101.
I knew it was 101-something. So District 101, we rely on your expertise a lot to help us sift through all things in Montgomery. We know there's a bunch of things going on in Montgomery. I know there was marijuana, medical marijuana, gambling. Can you give us a quick update on what's going on the State House floor and where do you think it's going?
Well, we've been here a lot. We were here till midnight last night and started back at 8 o'clock this morning, and looks like we're going to midnight again tonight. There's a lot of important issues in front of us right now that are all coming to a head like it always does at the end of the legislative session. You know, just things kind of get pushed to the end. We passed medical marijuana today. It's passed both the House and the Senate.
Okay.
I think the Senate, I'm not sure if the Senate has concurred with the House amendments, but let me state, medical marijuana there's been a lot of misinformation put out about it. This is not anything that can be smoked or eaten. This is a patch. This is a capsule that has to be prescribed by a doctor and can only be sold by certain pharmacies in the state. It's going to be very tightly controlled because we don't want it to be abused the way that opioids have been abused so bad in our community.
Right.
But it is passed the legislature, and now we're talking about gambling now.
Yeah. Now it sounded like gambling was going to sail through, but where are we at?
Well, yeah, the way the legislature works, it's you got 140 cooks in the kitchen, and everybody wants to get their little piece of their ingredient into the pie, and sometimes it doesn't mix well. I would have told you an hour ago it was dead, but they're trying to see if they can come up with some compromises with and see if we can get just a clean lottery bill or get the full gamut of all the gambling at one time. So it's we're going to find out late tonight.
So both of those are, because the one we had today, we started, the bill you started with was sort of a comprehensive bill, right?
Yeah, it was a catch-all. I mean, it included a sports game and included casinos and included a lottery. It was everything. And, you know, had a very good package of bills to establish a gaming commission that was very strong and had a lot of teeth. But nobody could really agree on how the money was being spent, which is always the fight.
That's always the problem, is who gets the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you got to make sure everybody wants their slice. So you said an hour ago you thought it would be dead, but you think they're really wrangling. They might come up with a compromise, huh?
It's just the way it works. Everybody's sitting down in rooms trying to negotiate some type of agreement so that we can get something out on the floor that everybody can agree to. But we still have to have 63 affirmative votes. The proposals that were before us is interesting. They had here's a term you heard from the BP oil spill. You had buckets of money, and one bucket was going to be for quote health care. We could use it for Medicare,
right?
Medicaid. We could use it for mental health. We could use it for rural health to try and shore up our rural hospitals, and it gave us some flexibility. There was a group of people that didn't want that. They wanted all to go to Medicaid. And we were saying, well, we have a mental health crisis in the state. We need to set some aside for that. We have a rural health crisis in the state. We need to set some aside for that. The package shut down a bunch of, whether they're legal or not, gambling institutions around the state. There's a much larger number of those than people realize. And this bill would close them. So the representatives from those counties were adamantly opposed to the gambling bill because they didn't want to lose the
right.
Gambling places in their counties. So it's tough to try and get something through.
Yeah, it's hanging out there. Now, are there any Second Amendment sanctuary type bills akin to what, Arizona, Montana, Oklahoma are pushing through, or Arizona and Montana have, and I think Oklahoma is coming up. Does Alabama have something like that?
We've got, it's about a 30-page calendar, a 30-bill calendar, and I left it on my desk upstairs when I ran down to my office to do this. because it's got a whole host of bills. And I know there's a gun bill on there, and it might be the constitutional carry bill. Like, because we've got so many bills we're trying to get through that have passed the Senate.
Well, and I know a lot of folks, so they're very concerned about, you know, Biden keeps talking about gun control measures and stuff that he can do with his, gun control executive orders is what I'm getting at. And then, you know, they're going to pack the Supreme Court or trying to pack the Supreme Court and getting states in Puerto Rico and D.C. And that makes folks nervous about their Second Amendment rights.
I'm probably the biggest supporter of the Second Amendment rights up here. I mean, I own too many guns. I mean, what they want to do is take about half my guns away from me, and I'm not going to let you take my guns.
Right, I'm with you.
Yeah, Alabama is, you know, you're pretty safe gun ownership here, in my opinion. You know, I'd like to see us go ahead and pass a law and say, you know, we're a sanctuary state for these federal gun control issues.
Yeah, and the way I see it right now for all the citizens, we're relying on the states to protect us because I think we have a rogue federal government, and I don't trust them, so we need our states to protect us. So I'm glad to hear you say, I think we do dare defend our rights. All right, is there anything else?
Pete, I mean, you think about it. We're headed towards a Tenth Amendment crisis in this country. I mean, you know, what's not explicitly given to the federal government is reserved for the states.
Right.
And they've overreached to the point where it's going to have to come to a head.
Yes.
So it's, you know, we're going to have to stand up for our states' rights and say you can't dictate our election system, our election process. You can't dictate gun laws. That's our responsibility here in the state of Alabama.
Right, so, right. Okay.
Of course, you know, my big issue is reapportionment. As the House Chairman of reapportionment.
Oh, yeah, and that's coming out. Thankfully, we didn't lose a congressional seat, but we reapportionment of different state districts, right?
Yeah, I have to redraw the 105 seats in the House, and I have to redraw the 35 Senate and the 8 school board and the 7 congressional districts.
Yeah.
We're going to start working on that, but the problem we have right now is the numbers that we have in our computer, there's 100, and the numbers they sent down from the census, there are 126,000 plus people. We don't know where they live. So we can't start drawing districts until they send us the updated.
Oh, so you know where they live and where they fit. Yeah. Hey, Chris, we're up against the bottom of the hour break, but thank you so much for giving us a live report and update from what's going on currently in Montgomery, and we appreciate your service. Try to keep them folks in line up there. Thank you, Chris Pringle, State Representative, District 101, Alabama State House. Folks, we'll be right back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. And Kay called in, texted in, and said, the common sense thing Saturday starts at 11. If you show up at 11:30, you might not get a cheeseburger. 11 on Saturday at Fowl River Community Center. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
Okay, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And bottom of the hour, we bring aboard a very special sponsor, and that is Mission First Mortgage. Folks, Mission First Mortgage is the place you go to get your financing for your home, or they even have some commercial financing. Excuse me, they have some commercial financing, but mostly they do homes. And if you're out there in this very, very tight real estate market right now, you better be prepared. You better be pre-qualified. You better have it approved and ready to go, or you could miss out on the dream home because it's a tight, tight market. You got to be locked and loaded, ready to go. Mission First Mortgage. Their mission is your financing, your future, your dream home. So they are mission-focused, mission-oriented, and they will get it done. Go to Mission First One, which is Mission1STMortgageInc.com. MissionFirstMortgageInc.com, which they got it written out. Mission1STMortgageInc.com. Or look, it's just easier. Brian Dewberry, an old Marine, give him a call. You're not that old, not like me. But he's a good old guy, Marine, 251-289-1141. Give them a call at 251-289-1141. Get pre-approved, locked and loaded, ready to go with your financing. Mission First Mortgage, bringing you wit and wisdom from our 40th president.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, distinguished members of the Congress, honored guests, and fellow citizens, I come before you to report on the state of our union And I'm pleased to report that after 4 years of united effort, the American people have brought forth a nation renewed, stronger, freer, and more secure than before. Four years ago, we began to change, forever I hope, our assumptions about government and its place in our lives. Out of that change has come great and robust growth in our confidence, our economy, and our role in the world. Tonight, America is stronger because of the values that we hold dear. We believe faith and freedom must be our guiding stars, for they show us truth, they make us brave, give us hope, and leave us wiser than we were. Our progress began not in Washington, D.C., but in the hearts of our families, communities, workplaces, and voluntary groups, which together are unleashing the invincible spirit of one great nation under God. Four years ago, we said we would invigorate our economy by giving people greater freedom and incentives to take risks and letting them keep more of what they earned. We did what we promised, and a great industrial giant is reborn.
There you go, folks. That is the 6th of February, 1985. That was Ronald Reagan's first address to the joint session of Congress on the State of the Union after his reelection. And, you know, Biden had just done his little address to the joint members of Congress the day before we came on last week, so we hadn't really gotten into it. So over the weekend, I tortured myself, watched it, and read the whole script. And, you know, after I vomited a few times, I wrote a column about it, and I wanted to pick this one to show if Trump would have stayed in office, this is more like the State of the Union we would have heard. Not in April, but probably in January, of the growth. He said, 4 years ago, we began to change forever. I hope our assumptions about government and its place in our lives. Folks, that was 35 years ago, and here we are right back to where we need to change the assumptions about government and our lives. We need to get away from this socialist, leftist crap, and history repeats itself. And this is what we should have been hearing on a State of the Union. But instead, we got that nonsense that we got from Biden last week. And I would say, check out this week's column. It's surprise. Biden is no moderate. And oh, and I got news on that. We are in a new home. My columns can now be found at renewamerica.com. If you haven't checked it out, they've got lots of conservative columnists there, lots of great columns and breaking news. RenewAmerica.com. You can find my columns there. Check it out. I'm on MeWe. I post them. So check out this week's column, Surprise, Biden is no moderate, at RenewAmerica.com. Okay, we got to get back to the phones. We got so many people holding. Let's go to line two, Stephanie Dernan, who called in last week about, I think it's SB 267. And the guy in Dothan who betrayed us and tried to water down the vaccine passport bill. So, Stephanie, where are we?
Hey, good evening. I'm so glad to talk to you again and give you an update about what's going on. So, Senate Bill 267, after all of the shenanigans on the House floor this week, it's crunch time, and it made it onto the calendar at the very last minute, just a couple of hours ago, and they are going to hear it on the floor of the House and take a vote on it in two bills. So
now this is not the replacement bill. This is
that your listeners applied to Representative Paul Lee to tell him his substitute was no good. We did not need Alabama to turn into New York with vaccine passports down here. Because of that pressure, we are watching him closely, but we really suspect that he might do the right thing.
So you think he's been feeling some pressure, this Paul Lee and Dothan, is he going to pull his bill or pull his substitution or what?
It's been really heating up. And so we've got some good information. We're hopeful. We're going to be watching him very closely and make sure that he does the right thing for Alabama to make sure that we don't turn into New York with these vaccine passports. But we should find out in the next hour or so.
In the next hour. So let me ask you this. Is Are they doing the original Senate Bill 267 or his substitute bill? Which one are they going for?
Well, the way they have to do, if there's any changes made on the floor, he has to stand up and offer those changes, or somebody has to step in and ask for those changes. So we're going to see. You know, we want that original Senate Bill 267 because it was liberty for everybody in Alabama to not have to submit to vaccine passports. But, you know, Representative Lee just really shredded that liberty bill.
Right.
So we're going to see. We're
okay,
have
so still, if you've got your
fire,
state representative's text, cell phone, text him right now and say, we want the original SB 267. You tell Paul Lee to sit down.
That's right.
All right, Stephanie, that's good. We'll have to see how it turns out. We'll pray that it turns out our way. But we can still apply pressure. And she's right, folks. Those representatives listen to us. When they get those texts and nagging calls, they pay attention to that. They don't want to hear about it because, you know, a lot of these things, they never hear from us, so they don't know what's going on. Okay, let's go to line three, Kevin in Mobile. What do you got for us, Kevin?
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
Nancy, good, how are you?
Yeah, we're doing fine, sir, doing fine. Yeah, that should be every day because our country is at a crossroads right here. We really need prayer right now. You know, I tell people, as crazy as it sounds, too, we really need to pray for Washington right there. I know the way I voted is not the way it's going right now. We need to pray for those people hard right there because they need it more than anybody. But I tell you what, talking to Representative Pringle, you know, here's the problem with the voting. For years and years, there's been gambling in Alabama since the 1800s. I mean, Mobile at one time, I think, had four racetracks. We had Mobile Greyhound Park. It's been here. The problem is, every time that we have bills like this, they throw up kids and they say it's for education, it's for infrastructure, it's for road and bridges, and nothing ever happens. Mobile County School Board, most school boards I know, are dead broke all the time. You look at your average bridge in Alabama, it's 50 years old. They're horribly, I mean, you're just waiting for a travesty to happen right there. Look at Airport Boulevard. I mean, my God, you can get your margarita shaken and stirred at the same time right here.
Right.
So the thing is, they need to quit with the lip service right there. Just go ahead and tell us what you're going to do with the money. You know, the BP money he was talking about, half of it went to Montgomery and up. You know, like I say, they would eat fish, but it had nothing to do with the fishing industry down here. So the thing is, when people get their hands on other people's money, and again, people will jump right in and buy lottery tickets and so forth from there. They're doing it in Florida and Mississippi and Louisiana.
Yep.
The whole thing is, they just need to be square with the people, and people need to understand. Your politicians are not going to do your best interest with your money, and it's our money. So the thing is, if this passes right here, just like with the marijuana, you can tell you this, Big Pharma's in on that. The people that really need it, the ones who are suffering from cancer and different things that can actually help them right there, Big Pharma's in there with all their lobbyists. They're going to get the money right there. And the people that really need it for a prescription, those are the ones that are going to suffer. So they just need to be square with people and quit doing lip service right there. I know Representative Pringle does a good job, so this is not at him. But it's at legislators and politicians in general.
Well, they're making deals up there.
Just square with the people.
I mean, look, and Kevin, you're right, because the reason the gambling bill is bogged down is not about the gambling. It's about how they're going to divide up the money. That's what they're fighting about. They're not fighting about whether you get a lottery ticket or a roulette table or what kind of gambling guy. They're fighting about how to divide up the money.
I mean, you look at it now with the Indian Nation right here. They've got their casinos and so forth right there. So, I mean, let's be real right there. Somebody's going, hey, you're going to get into my money, so I don't want you to do this here. I mean, you know, so somebody wants to have a monopoly on it right there. And like I say, you're going to be damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's probably going to eventually pass right there. But I would just tell people, you have a better chance of going out holding a lightning rod up in a storm and getting hit by lightning than ever winning the lottery or seeing the big $1 million payout.
And see, you're right. You hit my problem with it. I mean, I don't really care that much if people want to gamble or whatever. I mean, that's sort of their business. I think it's an issue. But to me, it's a cynical tax in that you're just getting people to throw money into sort of a Ponzi scheme with a really tiny chance. It's a poor person's tax, and you don't even get anything. You don't get any cigarettes or alcohol or gasoline. You just get a ticket.
If you just go and ask the average person right there about how interest works, Rule of 72, Rule of 78, how an IRA works right there. That's what we need to teach. If you take from kindergarten up, you need to have the parents in there with the kids and going, this is how you save money. We are trillions of dollars. Last year, we spent $6.3 trillion, and we only took in $3.3 for the federal government. So think about that, $3.3 trillion
in
debt. But our president has spent $1.9 more and wants to spend more.
No, he wants to spend $6 trillion more on time. That's crazy.
200 years in debt will never get out. So
that's right.
The lottery will not be the saving grace for Alabama either. So God bless. It took a little more time. God bless. Always appreciate the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. Folks, we'll be right back. I got calls and texts. Brian, hang on. We're going to get to you next because apparently Todd schnit his show.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
Okay, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Last segment, I want a couple things I got, because we got to get back to the phones and texts. Correction on the Tax Day Rally. Your Common Sense campaign, your South Alabama Tea Party has their annual, I think it's the 12th or 13th, 12th annual Tax Day Rally this Saturday, the 8th of May at Fowl River Community Center. It starts at 11. Not 11:30, Dr. Lou. Kay texted in. It's 11. If you're late, you may not get a cheeseburger, okay? So make sure 11 o'clock they start cooking. Don't worry, they probably have plenty, but 11 o'clock as it starts off this Saturday, Fowl River Community Center, 8 May at 11 o'clock this Saturday. Be there. Have a great, great, great show. Wanted to get that on. And we're not going to be able to get into this story. I was going to get into it because we've gotten into a bunch of stuff. Watch the Maricopa County election audit in Arizona. There must be really, really damning evidence in that, because you've got every Democrat lawyer in the country is descending on Arizona, trying to file lawsuits to stop it. The Arizona Secretary of State has been just going nuts trying to figure out ways to stop it. And now the Biden Department of Judiciary is talking about intervening. What are Democrats so afraid of with an Arizona audit? The truth? That you cheated and that you stole the election? Folks, watch it. But I got to get to the calls because people are talking about apparently whatever happened, whatever schnit happened on the schnit show, because I got John texted in. Do you believe that the 2020 presidential election was stolen? I think I just answered that. Yes. Todd Schnit doesn't believe that. And then Brian calling in from Mobile. Tell us about what happened.
I don't know. I think the man has lost his mind. I mean, I don't know. He called Donald Trump a liar and wants to give Liz Cheney a pass.
You're kidding. He calls Trump a liar and he wants to give Liz Cheney a pass.
Yes. And I'm like, and then the guy, the other guy that was, come on the show, called him a moron, and then he cuts him off because he don't want him saying what, giving his two cents worth.
Well, that's to me, that's crazy, because Liz Cheney is the one who, since January 6th, has given aid and comfort to the enemy, who has lied about the January 6th protests, and the Democrats and the leftists and the media, joined by traitors like Liz Cheney, have gotten in there going, oh, it was insurrection. It was a violent, deadly riot. It was the worst thing we've ever seen. It's all a hoax. It's all a lie. All of that's, we knew it at the time, and it's just taken time for the proof to become out there or the evidence to be solid about that. But she has lied about January 6th and basically took up and repeated and tried to prove the Democrat lies about that. And he says he wants to give her a pass and says that President Trump's a liar. That's what he said?
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, there for a while, Glenn Beck, I thought he lost his, but he come back to reality. But, I mean, he's making, he's more or less spitting Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and all of his face. But, you know, speaking of common sense, you played Ronald Reagan a while ago, and that brought back some memories.
Yeah.
I got to see him and July 4th, 84, when he was running his second term.
And this was right at this old. That speech was in February, right after he got reelected. With that clip that I paid.
Yeah, and that's what he spoke with at July 4th, 84, at the Fort Mallard in Decatur.
Right.
And for years, I tried to get that that speech to see if somebody recorded it. I'm sure they did, but it right now it's at the Reagan Library in the archives.
They probably have it.
They do. I finally found it after all these years.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it was kind of just like, man, if I look around the crowd, I probably see me and my granddad and my grandmother.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, look, let's make no mistake, folks. There was massive voter fraud across this country. I know some people who watched the testimony in the Senate hearings, not in the U.S. Senate, but in all the different battleground state legislatures, like 100 hours of testimony. And if you go through all of that, if you lead all the reports, all of it's out there. There was massive cheating in this thing. They stole that election. There's not a doubt about it. They know they stole it. The only thing they're doing is playing the game. We're just going to deny it, until some people start to doubt or some people start to forget. And this thing, like, I don't know what exactly, I didn't hear what Schnitt said, but what you told me, that's sort of the polite way for the squishy Republicans and the pseudo-conservatives to get out. They go, oh, well, you know, Trump actually just sort of imploded. He just sort of lost it. He didn't handle COVID that well. And then the soccer moms, they just got tired of his being mean. That's all a bunk, and that's all an excuse. Because if anybody believes that Joe Biden got 80 million votes, I've got beachfront property in Phoenix, Arizona for you.
There's no way he got 80 million votes.
No, no.
No, not
it's,
at all.
It's a hoax.
He just blatantly comes out and says, well, there is no proof. Where is the proof?
Look, that's why you got to watch Maricopa County. The Democrats are starting to lose their minds about stopping this thing. Now, I saw some stuff on some social media, but I'm reticent to repeat it. Because they're supposedly using these black light scanners and they're finding some real irregularities that maybe some of these ballots weren't even printed in this country. So I don't know.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know if that's been confirmed or that, because you got to watch it. There's a lot of nonsense that comes out there. So be careful. But what tells you there's something going on is Democrats are going through every contortion imaginable to try to stop it. So that must mean the truth is damning, and they will do anything to stop it. So
yeah, they're still afraid of Trump.
Oh, yeah, no, they still are, because he represents what we the people think. Now, they don't really care what we the people think with a rigged election.
They said, you know, hey, do you want these? Oh, no, we don't want those. this is for Hunter Biden.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. All right, Brian, thank you so much for calling in. And for listening, don't forget to follow us on MeWe and check out my column now at RenewAmerica.com. What do we got, about a minute? Okay, we got about a minute left.
God bless America.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much for listening and calling in. We did cover it earlier. Alabama does keep all seven congressional seats. We did not get into the Giuliani raid too much. That's going to be playing out. But a lot of the stories that broke last week already backtracking stuff they said. So watch for that to completely unravel. And then I'm sorry, but I'm happy that they've got enough signatures to recall Gavin Newsom as governor in California. And, you know, if Bruce Jenner wants to run for governor and he wants to call himself Caitlyn, I don't care. But I just can't get on board and calling the dude she and her. I mean, he's a dude. I mean, he can play the game he wants to. I just don't know why I have to play that game. But is that what the Liz Cheney and them want for the new Republican Party? Transgender Republicans running for office in California. I'm going to stay in Alabama. I like Alabama better. Folks, we are out of time. Couldn't get any more stories. Hopefully you will be saved, and Teresa will bring adult supervision back to the show next week. Ian, thank you so much. And honey, it's time to come home.